a truly tragic story, this one. The death of a young Sligo woman in January of this year. Laura Newell was aged just 39, the mother of two teenage girls. And her family insisted Laura's death was caused by her addiction to painkillers over many years. It led to her illness, resulting eventually in her death. In this case, an addiction to codeine. And since her death, her family have spoken out very publicly on the need to make painkillers harder to purchase across the counter. And Laura's sister, Carina Newell, is on the line. And you may have seen Carina on the RT Primetime programme on this very issue on Tuesday night last. Carina, good morning to you. And thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning. Will you tell us a little bit about Laura, first of all? As I say, only 39 years old.
Yeah, Laura was quite an effervescent character. She was very determined, and she headed off when she was very young and followed her lifelong passion of working with horses. And the same when she became a mum, she threw her heart and soul into that. And she was well known in the Sligo community. She was known as someone who was very helpful. She was she worked in a few different places, most recently up in Halford. And people would come and specifically ask for her to work on their cars. She was training to be a mechanic. She helped out with the local GAA clubs that her youngest daughter was involved in. She helped out with the boxing when she started that. So, she was an active member of our community.
And life was going well for Laura until a condition which is undiagnosed. That's what started the problem, Carina, isn't that right?
Yeah, as a young woman, Laura suffered with endometriosis, and this went undiagnosed for years. I think she was suffering with it when she was in her late teens, and it wasn't diagnosed till 2015. And during that time, when it was undiagnosed and she was being left to manage this crippling pain herself, she initially always had a box of Feminax in her bag, and at some point this turned to Nurofen Plus. So that was the start of Laura's descent into substance use disorder with this particular drug.
Okay.
So,
So it was codeine. She was taking products on a regular basis, which anybody can get across the counter, as we say. But family members quickly noticed that there was something wrong, something not right.
Yeah, and it became clear in about 2015 that Laura, her presentation changed. She began to lose weight. She was detached from what was going on around her and within the family. And that's when the issue was raised about her possibly using painkillers at that point. And later on in that year, she ended up in hospital quite seriously ill. And as I said on the programme the other night, the medical profession at that point were treating her for an eating disorder because that's how it presented when they didn't know about the tablets. So myself and Dad at that time went around the various chemists in Sligo with a photograph of Laura, and they all knew her. They all recognised her. Some had banned her, and others had said, "Oh yeah, she's a regular. She comes in and out." And that was chemists throughout the county that recognised her. So that's when it became clear she had a problem with these tablets. And we went back and reported it to the hospital at the time. But when Laura left the hospital at that time, she left with an appointment for a dietitian. And the focus was on an eating disorder rather than the possibility of an addiction.
Yeah. And you're convinced, and the family are convinced, that it was the addiction to these painkillers which eventually resulted in the loss of her life. You've no doubt about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. But she was able to, after that, she hid it better over the years. You wouldn't notice she was on tablets, even though you had suspicion sometimes when you spoke to her. It wasn't as pronounced as it had been previously. And she would not entertain any conversation about tablets at all, ever. She never, ever had a conversation with us about this addiction or about the use of tablets. And I think then, I think things took a turn in 2018 when we lost our dad, Timmy. And then my mum's cancer came back the same year. Laura moved in with mum to look after her. And mum ended up on end-of-life care. And Laura and Mum were very close. And when Mum passed away in December 2020, I think then that the tablets really took hold for Laura. And it only took a year. From December 2020 to December 2021, Laura deteriorated greatly at that point. And it was clear in December last year that Laura was very ill.
My God, you've had some tragedies to deal with, and in recent years in your family. But you have spoken out very publicly, as we well know, on this, even shortly after Laura's death, and you felt it important to do so. Why have you gone so public on this screen as a family?
Because it's at Laura's funeral, and we spoke. We needed to be open about what happened with Laura because it was so shocking for people. Nobody understood what happened. Nobody understood why Laura was so ill. There was no explanation. You weren't going to just say, oh, it's just natural causes, because that wasn't the case. The use of Nurofen Plus is what killed Laura. So we spoke about it openly after her death and at her funeral, and the amount of people that said to us, oh, I know somebody doing that. I had to go to rehab for that. My partner's doing that all the time. And it became clear it's happening, it's hidden, and because it's silent, people can't see it happening. They can't smell it. People might not be presenting as under the influence of anything, but they're taking these tablets because they're addicted to the codeine, and within that codeine that makes the tablets is the ibuprofen, which is causing massive amounts of damage to people's organs and stomachs and bowels, and that's what's happening, and it's a silent killer. I even noticed that, when I was walking around Sligo a week after Laura's death, I was seeing boxes, discarded boxes of empty Nurofen Plus lying on the ground. And I just felt this, like, that Laura's death cannot be in vain. This is happening, and it's the medical profession need to sit up and pay attention. And it was clear how easy it was for her to access the medication in the chemist right up in the week before, when Laura was dying. She was going into chemists and she was being served. And I know the chemists are feeling, and the pharmacists are feeling under attack at the moment. But they have these guidelines that they have to stick to, but people can easily bypass them. They're not going to, even if they asked all the questions, they're still going to give out that medicine. And people who are in the throes of a substance use disorder will go to any extent to get their medication. So I suppose as a family, we strongly feel these medications are dangerous enough, toxic enough, and doing enough damage that they should be, I believe, on prescription. Or if not on prescription, there has to be a database available that pharmacists have the power to check, to be able to go online and check that has this person been in a chemist in the last few days? Have they been somewhere else today? And have that, because they're powerless. They need this extra power to be able to say to someone, no, we can't serve you this today. You need to go to see a doctor or a counsellor, and you give that further information.
And how is that campaign going? I remember it was raised in Dáil Éireann by some politicians not long after Laura's death. Is it having an impact? Are we changing our practices? In relation to this, do you think?
I'll be forever grateful to Marion Harkin for raising this issue in the Dáil. I had acknowledgements from the other politicians I contacted, but Marion took this issue and raised it and continues to raise it. It's hard to say. When it was raised in the Dáil, I found that some of the responses were like they were just repeating what was there. They basically told us the safety advice of a packet of Nurofen and the regulations that have to be applied to the pharmacy. But the fact is, neither of them are working. In this last week, the end of last month, the HSE released a patient safety alert in regards to codeine use and the damage it can do. So that is a step forward, that health professionals are more informed and more aware that somebody coming into them complaining of recurrent stomach problems and they're not finding a cause for it, that they might actually be able to have that conversation. What medications are you using? Because Kate, that was in the programme as well the other night, she said she was constantly going to the doctor, constantly seeking medical advice. Nobody could give her an answer until she said, I use these medications. And I read another case study from a young woman where the exact same thing was happening. They didn't know until she said she was using the codeine-based products. So I think that that step from the HSE and the patient safety alert is a small step towards things changing if the medical profession are aware, more aware and more prepared to tackle the use of opioid painkillers.
Okay, well, it's a brave thing to do is to speak out and go so publicly on it. I take it you had a strong reaction from your appearance on Primetime, Karina, on Tuesday.
Yeah, I've had a strong reaction throughout. I mean, when we went public so soon after Laura's death, I had contact from families all over Ireland, from families in Sligo, from families all over Ireland who were going through the same thing. They were looking for advice on how will they know. They think this is happening. How do we recognise it? What do we do? There was people who contacted me saying they'd been using the same product for 4 years, and because of Laura's story, they were going to make a appointments with the doctor. It was the same here where I live in Shetland. I had countless people contacting me saying, we know what you're going through. People are chemist hopping, they're stockpiling, their families cannot do anything. And this is why we had to go public. And Laura's children are fully behind this. This wouldn't have happened unless they had agreed to it, because they understand the law. They are the ones who have been most impacted by this. And it's just, we feel strongly about it. We feel if some things had been different, Laura would still be here. And that's not dismissing the fact of her substance use disorder. That was there. But I think Laura's case highlights that failings within the resources that are available, on one hand for pain and for people being managing pain, and specifically endometriosis, because I've found that it's a lot of women that suffer with this particular substance use disorder because of the use of it for menstrual problems or menopausal problems. But also it highlights the need for when people start then realising that it gives them the opioid, gives them that feeling of well-being and that they can cope with things. So then it becomes something that's used for mental health. And that's what people start using it for, so they can get through the day and cope through the day. There's people that are predisposed to addiction problems. They're going to use this medication, get this medication for pain, and then have a long time coming off it. So there's just so many. There's that pain management, there's that mental health, there's the regulation. There's so much that the medical professions and the powers that be could take a step up and protect more people from falling foul of this.
A lot of reaction to this, understandably, and people praising Ukraine for going public on it and raising such an important issue. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us on the programme this morning, all the way from Shetland in Scotland.
That's grand.
Thanks very much.
And thanks for highlighting the issue, and hopefully some other families have the strength to push forward and get support, and that there's some other lives saved in doing this. That's our only hope.
Okay, thank you very much. That's Karina Newell, sister of Laura. This person says, I'm so glad this issue has been discussed on your programme. I had a 3-pack of 24 tablets a day habit. I too lost a lot of weight to the point that people thought I had cancer. Absolutely, pharmacies have a lot to answer for. The producers of Nurofen have almost doubled the price of a pack of 24. It has almost doubled in 3 years, which leads me to believe that there is no desire for change, but a desire to drive up profits. I am so sorry for that girl's loss. Someone else says, thank you sincerely, Karina, for raising awareness on this particular issue. I have a young daughter and I'm going to watch the Primetime show with her to make her aware of what can happen.